Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
Welcome into the your name.
Come on, can we do that right now? Just welcome him. Come on.
Oh, we worship you,
yes,
Jesus.
We do, Lord.
We magnify your name. Oh, oh, you're so worthy.
Hallelujah. Come on, welcome him tonight. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Welcome into this place. Hallelujah. Welcome into this broken vessel. Good morning, Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. It is such a pleasure to be with you this morning. We welcome you in the house of God because you know you are the temple of the living God. So wherever you are in the house of God. So we welcome you this morning. You know, I was glad when the Lord said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I hope that you have set up your house, your temple, to be able to worship, to give God the glory, to give God the honor, to give God the praise. And if you don't feel welcome in your own body, welcome in your own tabernacle, then there is no place that you won't feel welcome. But we welcome you in at Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church as we begin to give God glory, give God honor, and give God the praise. Hallelujah. So we are getting ready for a fabulous service this morning. I love you all. I miss you so very much. But we have a devotional reading by our very own brother, Pharaoh Mack, who is going to bring us our devotional reading out of Matthew. And we want you to enjoy the word of God. Amen. Brother Pharaoh, go ahead and give us our devotional reading.
Good morning, everyone. I will be reading from the New King James Version. We're doing with chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had not known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath. May God have a blessing to the hearers, the reader, and the doer of his name. Amen.
So the song says, mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Because yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all says, and bodies are still being raised. Woo! Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here.
Yes, yes, yes. Father God, Father God, Father God. Father God, once again, we come before the throne of grace and prayer, calling up on the great name of Jesus. Father God, you're a great God, a loving God, a merciful God. Father God, we come this morning, Father God, just to say we love you. And Father God, before we ask for anything, we come thanking you for everything. We thanking you, Father God, for this new day, a new day to call upon your holy name, a new day to ask for forgiveness of our sins, a new day, Father God, to study your word, to show our truth. We thank you, Father God, for working in our lives, that we know who you are. Father God, you are a great God, a loving God, and a merciful God. Father God, we just come thanking you, Father God, for your holy word, which is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We no longer walk in darkness, but in the marvelous light. We come thanking for your holy word. We can hide in our hearts that we won't continue to sin against you, Father God. Father God, we just come thanking you for this beautiful day, that day that you have made, a day that we will never see again. Father God, because you call our name, that you gave us another chance, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We come thanking you, Father God, for today's lesson, Father God, as we continue to study about love, Father God. I pray that we, your people, truly love one another, Father God. Oh, Father God, to have that agape love, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, that we can go forth in your name and not be ashamed and not be afraid, but we continue to speak boldly, Father God, boldly, Father God, to let this dying world know that we serve a true and living God. Oh, Father God, we know that you are the only answer for this world today, and we're crying out for the one that's still walking in darkness, Father God. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for everything you have done for us, and we thank you, Father God, for everything you're going to do. What a great God you are, a mighty God, a loving God, a merciful God, a God that's all-knowing, all sin, and all-powerful, Father God. You are the truly the great I am. Father God, whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without us, Father God. Oh, Father, we love you with an everlasting love. We give you all the honor and we give you all the praise. Father God, we're praising you for all you've done for us. And Father God, we worship you for the God you are, the only true and living God. Oh, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Father God, for everything. And we will continue to look towards the hills from which come our help. For our help come from you, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We just give you all glory. We give you all honor. And we give you all praise. It is now time. Yes, thanks of God for praise and worship. So stand up wherever you are right now and get on your feet, lift up your hands, clap your hands, and get ready as we go to God in worship and praise and worship, led by our very own sister, Tamisha Blackjointer. Give God glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church family. As we prepare our hearts and our minds to praise and worship, let us just think on the good things that God has done for us. Let us think on his grace and his mercy, oh God. We just come now to do what we were created to do. The word of God says that we were created to praise and worship him. The angels bow down before him, and we lift up our hands and give God praise. So today, the word of God from Psalms 117 says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Oh, God, we come now, God, just to praise you, oh, God. We praise you for your mighty acts, oh, God. We praise you for your wondrous works, oh, God. We come to praise and worship you now, oh, God. We clap our hands, oh, God. We shout hallelujah, oh, God. We come with a clean heart, oh, God, and a clean mind, oh, God,
to just focus on you, oh God, to love you, oh God, to praise you, oh God, to worship you for what you've done for us, oh God. We're going into a new month, oh God. This is the last Sunday in November, oh God. So we praise you, oh God. We adore you, God. We magnify you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God, for there is no other greater God than you, oh God. We just come to give you all glory and honor, oh God, so that your soul will be boasted, oh God, make a joy for us to make a joyful noise unto you, oh God. So we come right now, oh God, where we are to just focus on you, oh God, and praise and worship you, oh God. Thank you for delivering us, oh God. We praise you now, oh God, for our deliverance, oh God. We worship you for the things that you've done for us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, oh God. We will forever give you praise, glory, and honor, oh God, for we owe you another praise, oh God. So now in this praise and worship time, oh God, let our hearts and our minds come on one accord, oh God, so that we can praise and worship you together, oh God. For the word says, when we gather together in your name, oh God, there you will be in the midst, oh God. So now, God, we're asking you to come in our homes, oh God, come in our workplaces, oh God, come in our cars, oh God. Fill this our places with your presence, oh God. Let us feel your presence, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Fill us up again, oh God. Renew a right spirit within us, oh God. Clean us up, oh God. Make us white as snow, oh God, so that this praise and worship that we give to you, oh God, a beautiful sacrifice, oh God, let it be precious to your ears, oh God. Let it make you happy, oh God. Let it make you pour out, open up the windows, oh God, and begin to just pour out blessings, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God. Thank you, God, for this time of praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This ain't no ordinary.
Oh,
this man only wanted to make a
Argue with me if I said that we are living in tough, trying, turbulent times. There's trouble and problems everywhere we go. It's trouble in the finances. Many of us have more month than we do money. Many of us who made investments in a 401k is now a 201F. We're dealing with hostile husbands and disobedient daughters and wayward wives, and sometimes it makes us want to pull out our hair and say, how are we going to make it out of this mess? All of us have asked that proverbial question, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get by? And the answer comes back to every single generation. Six little words. The just shall live by faith. Faith is what's going to take you out of every circumstance. Faith is getting ready to take you out of every... Oh, come on, somebody. I dare you to stand on your feet and just tell somebody next to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord. It's going to happen by faith.
Hey, I see
I feel a man.
You are the God of wonder. You are. why I'm hearing some feedback that same. I wanted to give you the opportunity to know that even though we're not in the house of God, you can still give unto the Lord. You can still sow into Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. There may be a Cash App or Givelify, or you can drop your tithes and your offerings off at the church. You can mail it in to the church, but we don't want to slacken giving unto our Lord. And so I want to pray right now over your tithes and your offering and the givings that you have in your heart to give unto the Lord. And then you'll just get with our very own Pastor Kimberly Black so that she can direct you in how to give that, because we don't want to let the house of God slack in any kind of way. So we want to bless God and know that we still believe in him. We still have faith in him. We still do what he requires of us. And so we will still be given unto the house of God. Lord God, we just give you all glory, honor, and praise. We thank you so very much for the hands that have desire to give and those that are blessing the house of God with their tithes and their offering. We pray a double-fold blessing in this hour, Lord God. We pray your hedge of protection around each and every one of us. We thank you so much for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Let us still be used of you for your glory through our giving, Lord God. We give you all glory, we give you all honor, and we give you all praise. Thank you, Lord God, and amen. So, saints of God, it is now time for the word, and I'm excited to hear the word of God from our very own Elder Kathy Merriweather, who is a part of Greater St. Stephen's support system, and we just love to magnify the Lord. So I want you to have your notebooks, your tablets, your word of God, so that you can follow along and be instructed of what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto you. We pray blessings over our very own Errol Merriweather. I pray that she would decrease as the Lord increases in her and uses her mightily as she goes forth in the giving unto God through the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sister Elder Merriweather, you are live, and I turn the broadcast prayer over to you right now. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And good morning. Good morning to some and good afternoon to others. We are so thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. We are excited to be able to share and to break the bread of life with you one more time. God is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. And we are just humbled by this opportunity to come into the presence of God's people to share yet another word from the Lord. And we want to thank God for his tender mercies and his truth. Amen. Giving honor to Pastor Black and to Pastor Sherelle, Elder Farmer, and all of the Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church family. God bless you, and thank each and every one of you for allowing me to come and be a part of what God is doing here in 2020. And this morning, I don't know about you, but I'm like Pastor Sherelle. I am excited. I have been grinning from ear to ear since last Sunday. I tell you, Sunday night, I was excited because I knew just following Elder Farmer and what he had brought, the message, I just got excited about what God is doing. So right now, I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to need you to use your mind and visualize what I'm saying. Those of us who know about Normandy and that battle that was fought, they had to deliver troops into the battle, and they had to hit the ground running. This morning, we are God's people. We are hitting the ground running. So I want you to see as the Spirit of God begins to take us through what he has taught us all this quarter, and it has been about love. Gracious Father, hallelujah, we give you praise this morning. We give you praise because you first loved us, oh God, and for the last 3 months, Lord God, you have been pouring into our spirit the word of love. I have seen love unfolded in so many different ways, Lord God. And today we will wrap up this fall's lessons, oh God, on love. Lord God, we are going to talk about impartial love and how you view impartial love, oh God. And because we are your people and the sheep of your pasture, Lord God, we pray that you would fill us with your spirit, that we can love one another as you have proclaimed us to love. Lord God, we are not perfect. That's why we are here in your presence, because we want to grow. We want to be stronger. We want to be mighty in battle, ready to do the will of God, Lord, like any good soldier. When you call us to war, Lord God, we want to be equipped and ready to do what you want us to do. But Lord God, if we show partiality, Lord God, it just will not work. So Lord God, have your way right now. I must decrease as the Spirit of the living God increases in me today, that the word of God. I heard you say, Lord God, Peter, do you love me? And you know I love you, Lord God. You said, feed my sheep. Lord God, help me to feed according to your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited, y'all. So if I get carried away, you just get carried away with me, because this is what God's word does for us. God's word, it will change us. It will electrify us. It gets us ready to worship God. It gets us ready to love. And as I was saying in my prayer, as God began to unfold last week, I like to go back and pick up the weeks before and just share those things with you. But as I was getting ready for study, I realized that this, again, is the last lesson for this quarter. This will round out the fall session of love. Love will continue, but we will be learning about different things throughout this coming quarter for winter. So if you have your Sunday school books with you, we're going to be looking at page 146. And for those of you who are out there in the audience, we are coming from James chapter 2. And the printed text is verses 1 through 13. And again, the subject of the lesson today is impartial love. In the world that we live in today, we see so much struggles with partiality, discrimination, putting other people first. Those who have get more, and those who don't have get less. Well, this is what James is going to talk to us a little bit about today. And we all know that James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he respected Jesus in the end. In the beginning, he did not know that Jesus was, or he didn't accept it necessarily, but in the end, he began to believe, and he was the one that wrote the very first letter to the scattered church. That's where the book of James comes from. They're under persecution, and they've been scattered throughout Rome and other places. So James rises up as a leader to try and corral those that have now, they're living out there. They don't know what to do. They're starting to act like the world. Sounds like us a little bit if we're not careful. We will start to take on more and more of the world and less like Jesus Christ if we're not careful. So our aim for change today is by the end of this lesson, we will be able to understand the difference between showing partiality and treating others equally. We have to be really careful, my brothers and sisters, because we can show partiality and not even know we're doing it. So we're going to be able to understand the difference between showing partiality and treating others equally. Then we're going to be able to affirm that all people are equally valued and loved by God, whether rich, poor, black, white. All are loved by God. And then we're going to be able to put into practice James' call to fulfill the royal law. If you have ever studied the book of James, which Greater St. Stephens, I know you have, this is going to be our third trek through it in the last just few months. And I began to see something else. I said, Lord, now if you keep going over stuff, that must mean that you really want us to know what you are saying in this particular passage. So here we are, the Wednesday night Bible study. We're already studying the book of James. And we just went over this just last or week before last, and from the book, the second chapter of James. So we are going to look at the royal law of loving one's neighbor as yourself. And keep in mind, and this is going to be coming from James 2 and 5. It used to be called a memory verse. Y'all remember that when I was, we were growing up as kids, they called it the memory verse. Well, this is James 2 and 5. And this says, listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? And that's James 2 and 5. So we just give you a little bit of what James is going to talk to us about as we look through. And as the pastor would say, if she's out there, y'all could teach this lesson. This we already know because we have just gone over it not even 2 weeks ago. We went over it again back in August or thereabout, and now here we are again. So we will be reading today. I'm going to come away from the King James Version where I generally would read it, but I'm going to read actually from the New Living Translation right there in your Sunday school books on page 148. We will be reading James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Then we'll get into the meat of what is James, or what does the Lord want to say to us today in 2020? We always want to remember that as you study the Word of God, it's not just about what's printed on these pages, my friends. It is about what God is speaking to your spirit right now, this day. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall, or we shall, be filled. So as I read through this, let the Spirit of God begin to move upon your heartstrings and let him minister to you what he is saying for you to do in this present era of time in 2020. Lord God, what would you have us to do? James chapter 2 and 1. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, if you have favored some people over others? Give me a moment here, Spirit of Living God. This is what happens when, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. My dear brothers and sisters, how can we claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you stand over there or else sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery, also said, you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will have mercy or will be merciful when he judges you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and divine application of his holy word. James, who loved God's people, speaks to us today about how God is viewing and what God, how he wanted to pull his people together. We often pray about the situation that we are in here in 2020. We see Congress up, they couldn't pass a stimulus check law or whatever they needed to do to help the poor. And people have been discriminating against the poor, as we can see, for the last 2,000 years. So what we see happening in our world today should not catch us off guard. We should not be amazed at the fact that they could not come together and help out the needy right here in America, because as we can see, the needy has always not gotten a fair deal when it came to receiving help from those who have the ability to help. And we know that Congress had the ability to help, but they chose not to. But today, James is saying to the church, this is what we see is happening in the body of believers, but God is saying this is what we need not to be doing. And again, a little bit of the background today, James's epistle explains the love Christians are to show others in the world. And he also says that Christians were suffering from economic persecution and oppression, and the church was struggling under the strain. In response to the difficulties they faced, James admonished believers to pull together and help one another. And this is what the pastor has been doing, leading the church to pull together, to go out and help either feed the homeless or those less fortunate, to give out the sleeping bags, to do the things that we do as an outreach. But today's lesson is talking about what if that one now that we've been feeding, we get the house of God back open again, and somebody comes in dressed very poorly or ragged or even dirty, how are we going to respond when that person comes to the house of God? If we don't give ourselves to the word of God, then we will be doing like the early church. We will begin to show partiality, and we will begin to, when the rich man comes in or the one that's well-dressed, we want to invite them up to the front and have a seat. But the poor, we're going to have them sit on the back row. That's not fair. That's not what we should be doing. We should invite them to come in and break the bread of life with us, to share in the goodness of the Lord. I hear my sister in my spirit saying, "For if it weren't for the grace and the mercy of God, that would be me out there homeless and broken and don't know where to go." Now, if the homeless can't come to the house of God and receive love and support, where on earth could they possibly go? And we're going to look now, we're going to be moving around through the Sunday school lesson, because it is a powerful lesson on how we, again, how we treat one another. And then I hear the Spirit of God saying, we got to be careful how we treat family members as well. Sometimes, believe it or not, we actually show favoritism between our own family members. This one has a little, they're doing well, so we brag about how they're doing. We've got another one in the family who maybe not doing so well. We don't say much about them. So we got to be careful, because we can fall into favoritism really, really, and being unfair in how we treat our own children or our own family members if we are not careful. And James today, it says, as a concerned leader of the Christian church, James began a warning about moral behavior to the believers. Favoritism is unacceptable. And James uses the illustration of two men, one rich and one poor, who join in worship. Partiality begins when the believer pays more attention to the man with the higher status, offering him the best seat. Why do we do that, my brothers and sisters? Why do we actually stop and think about it? Do we do that in the churches because we feel that that person's going to give us a little bit more in the offering and the tithe, and we know the poor man ain't got nothing? Remember the widow's mite. If the poor man came in and gave one, the only last penny, you know what, and their heart is in the right place versus the one who gave a big $200 check. Who is God going to receive from? Which gift is going to be acceptable in God's sight? So we know today that the word of God is true. And looking at verse 1, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. James is trying to help believers understand that they were no longer to have the world's attitude. Now, in my studies, I underline this. He said they were no longer, we are no longer to have the world's attitude. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The way we used to think should not be the way we think now as being born again. The way we used to act should not be the way we act now as being born again, spirit-filled individuals. So let a man so examine himself. Let the Spirit show us where we may be lacking in this area. You guys may be fine, but I dare you, whenever I have an opportunity to share, I struggle with things. And I'm saying, Lord God, my heart needs fixing here in this area. So I thank God for this opportunity. It says they are followers of Christ where is shown. They are not following Christ when we show favoritism. We are not following Christ when we show favoritism. And we do not want to fall into that trap, because the Spirit of the Word of God tells us to, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we won't have that favoritism, because we're not operating in the flesh, but instead the Spirit of God. And I thank God for this word that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And again, taking it back, if we become someday, just because we have a little bit today don't mean our tomorrow we gonna have it. Just because we may not be on the street today, you know, we never know where all it takes is one turn and it could be us. And then how would we want somebody to treat us if that is us, or if that's our child, if that's our brother, come on now, if that's our sister that's out there. And we know there are people who have family members who are out and about on the streets, and how are they being treated? We can treat them any old kind of way, but we get mad if we see the world treating them any old kind of way. Now think about that one, when it ought not to be that way either. We should have that love and compassion, because the word of God says all souls are mine. And since all souls belong to the Lord knows how to take care of them. But he wants us to be his hands, his feet, his ears, his mouth, to speak that love, to show that kindness, to show that giving, to show that oneness, that we do care. We do care about your condition. Why? Because God cares about who you are. James then gives an example of how believers might actually be showing favoritism toward people without even realizing it. It says, by pointing out that they were having respect for the rich man over the poor man, James was drawing upon a common practice in the temple and the courts of society. Back then, if you had and today too, you come in well-dressed, the women, the fancy hats, and don't get me wrong, ain't nothing wrong with your fancy hats, and the gold rings and all of that, that meant a sign of class or status. Class and status won't get us to heaven, my brothers and sisters. A pure heart, a born-again heart, that's what God is asking us to have, so that we can then live out this great commission to go out and bring the word of God to all people, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We never know, that one poor person that is coming in may be ready to give their heart to the Lord. And if we treat them with a cold shoulder when they come in to us, then you know what? A soul may miss an opportunity to receive heaven, or they may go down to another church that will, or another body of Christ of believers that will accept them. So we want to be ready when God brings these individuals into the house of God. And then we want to look at, I'm going to move around to verse 9. It says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. When I was studying this, I don't think anyone had ever pointed this out to me, that showing respect for a person is committing a sin. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. When Christ was asked to identify the greatest commandment, he said to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and then to love their neighbors in the same way they love themselves. James calls this the royal law. It represents the whole law of God as revealed in Moses and stated by Jesus Christ. James affirms that fulfilling the royal law is pleasing to God because that person is showing genuine love to someone else called their neighbor. Our neighbor is, we found out during the course of other lessons, our neighbor is not necessarily the person that lives in the house behind you, beside you, in front of you. Our neighbors are who? Those who are in need. If you see someone having a need, they're hungry, and if we bless them and say, go on about your, you know, God bless you and send them on, we didn't really help them if they're hungry. In order to show genuine love, you've got to, what, be prepared to help feed them, help provide them with warm clothes or whatever it takes. And we know that now we're about to move into winter 2020. God knows that there are going to be so many people that need warm coats and socks and things. And we know that the body of Christ has been doing these things. But if you listen to the news more and more every month, there are more people filing for unemployment. That's because they're losing their jobs. They're being evicted from their homes. I have never seen it like this before. And I don't know anybody else that has ever seen it like this before, except James brings it to us. If we have the ability to help, then we've got to have that genuine love for our neighbors. And anyone bearing the name of Christ belongs to his kingdom and was to be included as a neighbor. So charity begins at home. We help the body of Christ first. I don't know about you, but we need to check on the body of Christ and make sure that right now, everybody in the body of Christ is doing well. We heard about Ananias and Sapphira, about how they had an opportunity to join with everybody else. Honestly, if you had a piece of land, you went and sold it and bring it all to the communal pots so that everybody in the body of Christ would be taken care of. Everybody would be taken care of. We have to make sure that everybody, just because I call in every Wednesday, just because I call in every Sunday don't mean I'm doing well. Somebody needs to be checking on me, hear what the Spirit is saying. We've got to know how, if people are in need. Sometimes it may not be a physical need. Sometimes it may be people are having emotional problems. They're having the mental, because I don't know about you, but there are times where there are battles in our minds, where we need somebody to help pray us through until we can get back in a place where we can worship the Lord, because the enemy fights us in the spirit of our minds. So there are multitudes of ways where we can help our brothers and our sisters, but don't be afraid to help them because the Spirit of God is there to help us. And we don't want to be a breaker of the law, God's law, by showing discrimination or favoritism. Verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. For he said that, do not commit adultery, also do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So I heard someone say the other day they wanted to do this and do that, and it had to do with going back under the law. And I told them, I said, you know what? If you want to remember the Passover and all of that, which was a part of the law, if you do that, you're subjecting putting yourself under the whole law. And we couldn't keep the whole law to begin with. That's why Jesus had to come and fulfill the law. And so now we have to make sure that we are living under the grace that Jesus Christ has brought us. James drives home the point that the smallest transgression of God's law makes one guilty of violating the whole law. A chain, and this was good, a chain with a single broken link is a broken chain. I can hear Elder Farmer say, I'm going to say that again. A chain with a single broken link is still a broken chain. So we have to be careful about, this is how serious it is to showing favoritism and being partial. It is a sin. And we already saying, Lord, have mercy. But until I studied this, I did not know that showing favoritism is a sin. So woe is me, O Lord, for I am undone. Help me, Lord Jesus, because I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to be show partiality to people, whether they rich, poor, as Mother Bradley would say in her day, her lifetime, white, black, green, yellow, whatever color they are. We have to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and live by the word of God. And that's what James is trying to help us do. James is trying to help his listeners understand that they were not to pick and choose when it comes to obeying God's command. You've got to honor them at all times. Now we walk away from this. Now that we know favoritism is a sin, we have no more excuse. That's what Jesus said about the Jews. When he brought and showed them where it was a sin, he said they have no more cover and they have no more excuse now. So for us to act with partiality now, we know is a sin against God, and we're going to have to ask God to forgive us. God is not honored when we follow some of his commands and not others because we find some more acceptable than others. Even though a person commits one type of sin but refrains from committing another form of sin, in essence, that person is rejecting the whole of God's authority and is therefore guilty of committing sin. All people are one in Christ. It doesn't matter their social status. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and the man down under the bridge, they all should be treated the same when it comes to love and giving and helping them to understand who Christ is. We cannot make a difference. We cannot show favoritism. We cannot show partiality to these people just because one is higher up and one is down low. That's not how Jesus would do it. Yes, we give respect to the office. We understand that. We understand that the office that they serve. But when these men come out of office, a president or whatever, guess what? They still men that have souls that's going to spend eternity somewhere. So we have to make sure that we're not showing favoritism just because of what the office is. And verse 12 says, so speak ye and so do as they that judge, that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that he shall show no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. This particular passage here was an eye-opener. If we don't show mercy, my brothers and sisters, we will not receive mercy. I believe that's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they blessed are the merciful, is what it says. And I just thank God that we can see his word. It's not just in the book of James. It's over in the book of Matthew. It's throughout the word of God. We heard about Moses just a minute ago about what God would have, what his word is. We cannot show favoritism. Even in Acts chapter 10, it says that God is no respecter of persons. So if God is no respecter of persons, we therefore do not have a right to have that partiality when it comes to those who come within our inner circle, those that we have an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ on. They will know us how? By our love. And if we have love down, if you have genuine love down in your spirit, you will then not have a problem showing love. It's only when it is not there. Somebody said one time that what's in you will come out. And if there's love, genuine love down in you, then genuine love will come to the surface. James warns that believers will be judged with the same type of judgment that they show to others. If we take heed to James's instruction and follow Jesus' words, we will avoid the trap of deceiving ourselves. In other words, we will fulfill the commandment of God by becoming doers of the word, by showing love and mercy to our brothers and sisters. So today, my brothers and sisters, the word of God has taught us that we cannot show partiality. We cannot pick and choose who is to receive the royal treatment from us while others receive a less favorable treatment. We have to be like Jesus. Jesus, even as we read a couple Sundays ago, he told Judas, "That that you do, do quickly." He was washing feet that night. You know what? He washed Judas's feet as well. He didn't pick and choose disciples' feet to wash, but he washed them all. And we have to be like Jesus in order to let this dying world see the love of God. Then we pray that the love of God will be found down in our spirits, down in our souls. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water, and living water comes from the throne above. It comes from the grace of God, and we pray that God's love and his tender mercies will be down in us. So this quarter, my friends and my brothers and sisters, God has taught us about the struggles of love, the issues that happen within the church, and how we are to, and actually it took us back to Joseph, how his brothers sold him off into slavery. But God had a plan and God had a purpose. God rewarded obedience to us as we studied about love and the struggles of love. And then we also looked at love versus guilt. There is a difference between love. I do it because I love you, not out of guilt. I shared that with Pastor when I was accepting the invitation to share the word of God. The Spirit asked me, "Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it out of obligation? Or are you doing it because you love me? Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, or if you love me, feed my lambs." Everything that we do, my brothers and sisters, ought to be because we love the Lord. He first loved us, but now we have found in him a resting place, and he has made us glad. He has poured his love. He has poured his spirit. He has poured his word down in our souls. Now we can show love. Why? Because it is in us. He took us through what is love, love and devotion to others. We cannot any longer be self-centered in the love that God has given us. We cannot be selfish anymore. Why? Because the Spirit of God is not going to allow you selfish, not if you truly love God. He's going to bring to light in you where you need to allow him to grow you up, or what he needs to allow to, you need to allow him to get rid of in you. But those things happen as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we were talking about earlier in the quarter, love your enemies. Loving your enemies. That's a tall order. Love your enemies. Do good to them who persecute you. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. How many of us truly can do that? Or do we cop an attitude? We just going to get real. I don't know. There's people I know that can cop an attitude so quick, but then turn around and we be praising God. That ought not to be that way, my brothers and sisters. And I speak for myself. It ought not to be that way. There should not be salt and sweet flowing from the same fountain that flows from out of my belly. The Lord God, help me in this area. We got to love our neighbors. We got to love divinely, the divine love of God. Everything that we do ought to be to the glory of God. Why? Because God is in us. He is the hope of glory. And God is no respecter of persons. So when we allow God to move in us, we can do the things that we normally would not do. We can love the unlovable. Because first of all, once upon a time, we were pretty unlovable. At least I was pretty unlovable. And God hung in there with me. My mother hung in there with me. My children hung in there with me. My husband hung in there with me. Somebody had to hang in there with you. So remember, to whom much is given, much is required, and we have been given the love and the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then in Unit 3, godly love among believers. This is where we are today, loving by serving. Loving by serving our brothers and sisters, abiding in that love, abiding in the vine, Jesus the true vine, we the branches. When we abide in him, we can ask anything in his name and the Father will do it. Confident love, the love that I have is not of me. I ain't got nothing to boast about, but the love that God has put down in me is the love that he now wants me to give out. I am patient where I used to be short-tempered. I endure all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. Why? Because of him that is down off in me, sharing the love of God. Let me get started. Somebody to ask me how I know that he lives, because he lives in me. I can now share the love that God has in me, because that's what he called me to do. Today's lesson, in the presence of the Lord, impartial love. I cannot have impartial love. Why? Because the Lord knows that this is not how he has called his children. 2,000 years ago, verses 2020, the word of God has not changed, and it is not going to change. If this message is still being taught 200 years from now, it is still going to be the same. We cannot show impartiality when it comes to being children of the living God. So we must yield every single day. We must yield to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We must walk in that love. If you don't know how, tell him you don't know how. If you don't, you know that you fall short in an area, don't you know that it's God showing you that you're falling short in it, and he just wants to bring you up a little bit higher in it? Why? Because he is a loving father who loves his children and wants his children to represent him in 2020 and beyond. So today we honor God for the love that he has poured down in our spirits. Don't make a mistake. For the last 3 months, God has been telling us love, 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 love. It is all about love. It is about growing up in love. It is about being patient in love. It is about caring and sharing in the power of love. And if your biggest takeaway today, Father God, help us to know this love that you want us to share and be a joyful love, Lord God. We don't want to be begrudging in any format, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. May the love of God be a new strength for us. Ask me why I do what I do, because I first love you, oh God. Father God, we pray today that as you have rounded this out, that we cannot be partial any longer. Lord, maybe we used to be, but we cannot do that any longer. That, Lord God, as you have called us without partiality, because when we were dead in trespasses and sin, you sent Jesus Christ to die for us. In due season, he died for the ungodly, Lord God. And that was me, Lord God. So I thank you today for the power and the breakthrough of love, your agape love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord God, I pray that something has been said, someone has been encouraged, a seed planted or even a seed watered, oh God, that they have not heard me, but they have heard the cry that we must love one another and not be partial in doing so. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God and amen. Pastor Sherelle.
Amen. What a mighty word from God today. Thank you so much, Elder. We, Meriwether, we appreciate the word because love is so essential. It is such a part of our life that God created us in, and everything surrounds around love. And it works as if we have not love, we have nothing. And so I appreciate the reminder this morning. I appreciate the word where we cannot show partiality, and partiality is showing sin. Amen. Amen. I hope you all received the word of God today. If you have love in your heart and you don't know the Lord, and you have not yet received that love of the Lord in your heart, and you want to give yourself over to the Lord, I welcome him into your heart today. And the word says that if you confess your faults, that he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you are saved and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all the ages to come. And I invite that for you. If you have fallen short, like you heard Elder Meriwether say that she had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive her because she doesn't want to be guilty of even showing partiality. If we have sinned or fallen short or turned away from God in any kind of way, I invite God back into your heart. I invite the Lord Jesus back into your life. And all you have to do is confess that you sinned against him and ask for forgiveness because he forgive you and cleanse you. And so I invite that for you. If you don't know the Lord, I invite him in. And if you need to turn back to the Lord, I invite him in. I thank you so very much for tuning in today. I want to pray with those of you who have backslidden or those of you who want to ask for forgiveness of the sins, or even those of you that have acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. We thank you so very much for forgiving us of all our sins. We are guilty, Lord God, and it's only by the blood of Jesus that we are cleansed and made whole. And so we honor you today, and we thank you for the sacrifice, and we ask that you would keep our names written in your Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive us of all our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and then use us, Lord, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Now, for each and every one of you, I pray that the Lord would bless you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, being gracious unto you and giving you both peace and prosperity. As Pastor Black says, what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, live holy every day. Love love without showing favoritism. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Love without showing favoritism, and give your neighbor all of you as you give God all of you. In the name of Christ Jesus, it's been an honor to be with you all this morning. I love you, Pastor Black, and to the Greater St. Stephen's family. Have an awesome day in the Lord. Good day. God bless you.